boy, that life is just going to immediately be without hope. If you have no God, how could you possibly have any hope? Because I look around and I see, you know, so many things like disease and decay and death and disappointment, all these things that life's going to bring you. You are going to be faced with these things at some point, and without God, boy, how do we cope? How do we deal with that? He is our ultimate hope. And that hope is found in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that God is God, and we're kept from Him because of that first sin and our sin. We're kept from Him. But that hope is that He has come, and by the way of the cross, we're brought back into a relationship with Him that we can have now, but will be fully realized someday, either when we die or when He returns. That is this hope of something that is yet to come. But there's also this hope that we can sort of realize now, because I'm becoming the Joel I was supposed to be through this process that He is working on my life. And the more I study this and the more I understand Christ and I have a relationship with Him, I find there's things I need to get rid of, stuff I've got to shed and get rid of, and things I have to put on, and I'm becoming, and I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful of that. I hope that I'm going to change. I hope a couple years from now I look back and say, dang, I was immature a couple years ago. I've grown a lot in Christ. I'm changing, and I'm hopeful for this transformation to take place. And a passage that we use came from Romans that said, hope that is seen is no hope at all. We can't see this hope yet. For who hopes for what he already has? We hope for what we do not yet have, and we wait for it patiently. We're people of hope. Hope for something that is going to happen when Christ returns. And we're hopeful that our lives and this church is being transformed by His grace and through His Spirit here. And we talked a lot about love. And this love here, the verse we use, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love for one another. And this love is not the same as my love for coconut raisin pie or my love for golf or, you know, a romantic. It's a different love. It is this love that is rooted in God, and it's love that is found in Christ. And it is this love of other people and this determination to make their lives better as well. Love. And faith, more than just saying I believe something, but this faith is a word of action. That there should be movement to what we say we believe. There should be real kinds of changes in these statements that we make. I believe dot, dot, dot as a follower of Christ. I believe this as a member of Pleasant Chapel Church. It's one thing to say those things, but real true faith is going to mean that there's action behind it, and there is change in our lives, and there's a difference in our lives as a result of what we say we believe. We walk by that faith. We listen by that faith. And we obey and we confess our sins by that faith, and then we repent based on that faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, is a passage that we used. So this faith springs from this hope that we have, and we act on it. But you know, I can say, for example, I believe in forgiveness. I say that. I believe in the forgiveness that's brought by Christ. But if I don't repent, do I really believe? If I say I believe in forgiveness, but if I'm not repentant, if I'm not repenting, do I believe? If I claim this forgiveness, I've been forgiven, but yet I still gossip and I still lust, or I still hate, or I'm still a racist. Do I really believe? Is that real faith? Have I repented? Have I turned? Have I changed? That's an important part of our faith. And this repent, I've said that word a lot of times here already this morning. We don't hear that a lot, do we? This repent, this, that just means change. That means that we're turning, and we're turning from an old self to a new self. And we believe that we have a part in that. We believe that we are to cooperate with the Spirit, that He's going to urge us to say, Joel, this is where you are. It's not where I want you to be. You need to do some turning, some changing, some decision making. That's simply what repentance is. And that's ongoing. I think I will be in that process until I die, because it seems like the more maturity, the more time, the more things I find wrong that needs a turn, that needs repentance. And that's part of this process. And that is this faith that we have. It's an action. It's this choosing to cooperate with the Spirit to turn us into that person that we are to believe. I could say Jesus loves me, this I know, like the song says, but if I'm not loving him back and I'm not loving others unconditionally, do I really love him? So that's the depth of faith, hope, and love. It should cause us to get deeper. It should cause us to change. And faith, hope, and love should be how we operate. It should be central to our character. And when you think about your own character, is my character really formed by faith and by my hope and by my love for him and for other people? We should be living as people of love. Our actions that we do should be determined by our faith. And our purpose should be centered on our hope. And those things should be exhibited and felt by the world around us. They should see that. They should see evidence of the faith and hope and love in our lives. And it's my hope that, you know, we're all examining ourselves and looking at our character. And I'm thinking, you know, as moms and dads and as grandmas and grandpas, that are you exhibiting a life that your kids and your grandkids are seeing that you are a person centered on your faith and you are one whose actions are based upon love and you have a deep hope that is about you, for a hope of something that is yet to come and a hope that's going to be realized here as we are becoming more Christ-like? I hope that is happening as parents. Likewise, for all of us, do other people around us see that in us? Do they see lives that are characterized by those qualities of faith, hope, and love? And even students, you know, your peers and your classmates, what do they see in you? Do they see you as someone who's motivated by something more than just what's popular or more than what just everybody else is doing? But they're seeing in you something that is rooted in this great power we call Jesus Christ. That is my hope, that we're delving more deeply into those things. So how are we then supposed to act there? What is this supposed to look like? How are we to be as people of faith, hope, and love? And we had this, there's my sandwich. We had this a couple weeks ago here about where faith, hope, and love fit in there. And that's just a good-looking sandwich, isn't it? It just kind of makes you hungry there. But I just want to review a little bit from where this comes from. Chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians is the love chapter. That's, you know, love is patient, love is kind. And that's the chapter that says, if I do this and this but don't have love, I'm just nothing. You know, if I do this and don't have love, I'm just worthless. But love is this. Love is patient, love is kind. And at the very end of that chapter is where he says, and now faith, hope, and love, these three abide, but the greatest of these is love. So chapter 13, I'm calling the meat of the sandwich. But the sandwich is really inside of something else Paul's talking about there. And that's chapter 12 and chapter 14. And he's in the middle of talking about a thing called spiritual gifts. And that's what I want to spend just a little bit of time talking about today. Because if we have this character about us, that we are to be people of faith, hope, and love, then for what purpose? You know, this is how I'm supposed to be, but what is it that I am supposed to do? You know, I am the first one to get caught up into this. You know I'm supposed to be a human being, but sometimes I get a little bit more trapped in the notion that I'm really a human doing. You know, I want to do something. You know, what am I supposed to do with this stuff? And that's the practical side of where we are. So what are we to do? If I am supposed to be this person of faith, hope, and love, what is it that I am to do? And one of the passages here that comes from the chapter before, Paul says, he said, you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church, and now he lists these things that are in the church. But I highlight there that first part to say, we're individuals. We have unique characteristics and qualities and talents and abilities and experiences. That's what makes us individuals. But he says, together we are one body, and it is for the function here to do church stuff, to do the church stuff. That is, it is what we are to do. So I have this character and quality that is rooted in my faith and my hope and my love. And now I have these individual qualities that I can use to bring to this body for the purpose of doing church stuff together as one unit called Pleasant Chapel United Methodist Church. And this is what is interesting about this, that when we become followers of Christ, when we are one of His, when we are a child of God, the Bible says we are given gifts. We are given spiritual gifts to be used for the church. If you claim to be Christ's child, if you are a Christian, the Bible says you're given a gift, and that gift is to be used for the church. Well, what are those? What are these spiritual gifts? There's three basic passages in the Bible where you can find these things, where you can find these, where these spiritual gifts are at. And Paul's talking about them. One comes from Romans chapter 12, one comes from 1 Corinthians, just where we were at, and the last one comes from Ephesians. Now, that's a lot of reading, that's a lot of Bible, but I wanted to kind of summarize them here a little bit, and so we've got a chart here that will show you what these gifts are. I don't know that these are all inclusive, if it shows all of them, but these are the ones that are listed there. I happen to believe that there are some more of these, and that's really, really small to read, but don't worry, we'll talk about those, and we're going to get into these a little bit more later. But in Romans, let me read just a little bit of part of this so you can kind of see where he's going. He says, just as each of you has one body, that sounds familiar, with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So he's using this analogy of a body. You know, you got fingers, and you got eyeballs, and you got hair, and you got ears. Those things are all doing different things to make this body do its body thing. Similarly, within the church, all of us have different things that we can do, but it is for one purpose inside the church. And he begins to list these. If your gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, there's a second one. If it's teaching, if it's encouraging or exhortation, if it is contributing the needs of others, let him give. If it's leadership, if it's to govern, if it's to show mercy, there are several of these gifts that, well, I don't have them. There's some up there that I don't have, but I know there are people here that have those. Some of you have that gift of mercy. God gave you that. And that is your gift that he's given you that's to be used. In 1 Corinthians, similarly, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The common good. This church thing that we are to do. To one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. Got that one either. I wish I'd had that one. Wisdom is a gift that some will have. To other, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith. To another, healing. To someone else, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, and so on. There and that, you go back and you can look at these things in 1 Corinthians. There's another list of spiritual gifts. And in Ephesians, he's talking about the same kind of thing. Here he says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and others to be pastors and teachers. And here's now why. To prepare God's people for works of service so the body of Christ, a church, may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I don't think I had that, or did I? I did have that up there. Now, if you look at that passage there, are we there yet? Have we all reached perfect unity in the faith, and do we have full knowledge of the Son of God? Have we become completely mature, and have we attained the full measure of the fullness of Christ? Are we there yet? So we got some work to do. Isn't that right? That we got this church work to do. And what we're getting at here is we have been given gifts. We have been given these things that God has given us to use as individual members to function in a big body, to do just that, to do the church stuff that's in yellow there. That's our job. And that's exciting that we know that we have that. And so I wonder, you know, I don't know if this is real new. I've kind of felt some of you out a little bit. You know, have you ever done anything regarding your spiritual gifts? Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Do you know what God has given you? And you know, you get kind of some foggy looks. I don't know if that's something maybe we've done here a lot, but We're gonna work just at that. We're gonna take a look to see perhaps what our individual spiritual gifts are, and then how perhaps can we use those. But he's also given us other stuff as well. He's given us those spiritual gifts, but he's also given us unique hearts. He's given me a passion to do something inside this church that's probably different than the passion that you have. But I bet he's given you a passion to serve him in some way. He's also given you talents and abilities different from the list that is here that can be used for his glory, that can be used inside of this church. Some of you are very good with handling money. Some of you are very good with construction kinds of things. Some of you are very good with just dealing with people. Some of you are very good with organization. Some of you are good with just being there with someone and providing them comfort. Those are your gifts and talents and abilities that you have. And thank goodness God gave us different personalities. Or, you know, we'd all want to be like Sonny. Here's a few people I could pick on here. You know, one Sonny's enough. No. And one Joel for sure is enough. We know that. But isn't it great? We all have this different personality that is given by God as well. And again, given by God. This personality is given by God to be used again in his church for his glory. Isn't that just awesome that we have that as well? And we all have a different set of experiences too. And so when we look at this, do I have a handle on those? I'll be straight up honest with you. Have I really looked to see, well, what is it that I have? What experiences could I bring? What are my passions? What abilities do I have? What is my gift? And how could I bring that to this church for this common good? So that's what maybe we want to take a look at. We want to get better in tune with our own gifts and our own abilities to find out exactly what it is that we could be doing. And this goes, you know, right along with some bigger questions. You know, why are we a church? And what is it that we are to do here to exist? And, oh boy, exist. Will we still exist 10 years from now? And how do we go about making this happen? It all ties in with how this church is to function. Now, here's my opinion, and this is not, you know, I always say this is my opinion. It's not, I always try to speak from that. So when I'm standing here, I want to, you know, it's about exposing this truth. And when it's my opinion, I always want to clarify that so you know that this is just my opinion. My opinion is this: is this church going to exist? Are we going to maintain this church? And, you know, here's my opinion. I just think that we can't simply wish it will happen. I don't think we can just wish that these pews are going to stay full or get more full and people are just going to continue to come. I just don't think we can simply wish that is going to happen. I think years ago it was easier for that just to happen. We were kind of the only gig in town. There wasn't a whole lot of things going on. People came to church just because it was the thing to do. And so I think we need to think a little differently about how the church should run. We need to be more intentional about what it is that we're doing and why. More deliberate about all that we do. And it's about a purpose. Because I just think there are too many other options that are attractive for people to stay home on Sunday morning. We just can't simply think it's going to happen. And so that's what we are going to kind of start thinking about here a little bit, about being a little more intentional here. Now, I got to share this with you because it was kind of funny how this worked out. You know, to be truthful, we've been talking about 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 here. You know, we've been talking about this. And to be truthful, it's kind of been on my heart here since I've been here. They've kind of been nudged about thinking about, you know, where is this? What's the purpose of this church? And how are we going to be more intentional and deliberate about being a church that is, you know, thriving? And how are we going to go about that? And just this week, I'm in a class, and the reading of this class is about, you know, having your church be more missional, and everything is just exactly about what we've been talking about here. I think, what, coincidence? Is this a coincidence that these things are rolling together here? And I've had individual talks with several of you that kind of seem like this is right in line with this. And so I was kind of thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we could kind of sit down and begin this conversation a little bit about, which would include, you know, what are your gifts and what's your talents and how could you be plugged into this church? And what is the overall mission of the church? And what is it, What is it that we need to do to meet the needs of our community? And this conversation, wouldn't it be kind of neat if we'd have that opportunity to do something like that? Well, guess what? I get a phone call this week from our painter that says, you know, we're going to close the sanctuary for 2 weeks. I thought, oh boy, how are we going to have church? I think, what a great opportunity to start some of those conversations. So, you know, rather than the next couple of weeks, rather than having our typical worship services like we're having, we're going to meet downstairs and we're going to push this a little bit. We're going to spend a little time to find out, hey, Tom, what's your spiritual gift and what's your talents and what's your ability and how might we use those in the church? Now, don't freak out. We're not going to make you do anything that you don't want to do. It's not going to be that. But then also, as a group, I'm thinking, you know, it's hard to get everybody together, but hey, where do you see? Where do you see the direction of this church? And if this is the mission of the church, back there on the board, making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, and you guys have already decided that we're about coming to know Christ, and we're to grow in Christ, and we're to go out there in the world in Christ and show Him in our love and in our actions. We've already determined that's what it is. But now let's think about how are we doing? How are we doing with that? What is it that we're doing in the church? And how does it fit with that? And I have no idea where this is going to go. You talk about a step of faith. It's what we're going to do here. But I think after we have these conversations, I think we're going to look back and say, you know what we're good at? We're good at this. And we're good at this. And we're doing a great job here. And I think we're also going to find, you know, if we believe that, we need to maybe do a little bit more work here and a little bit more work there. I don't know what those things are yet. But that's, I think, what we could begin here in these next couple of weeks. We can start this conversation. I'll tell you right now, in 3 weeks, we are not going to have all the answers. This is going to be an ongoing thing. But we want to look. We want to seek and find out what is God's will for Pleasant Chapel. And what is it my role and your role that we can do together to make this church thrive? And I'm excited about that. I think that is, you know, it'd just be great to be able to have some clarity to knowing what God's plan is for the church. And then knowing what perhaps are some strategies and tactics we could do to fulfill that. And then also to know that, hey, I got a part to play in this. I've got something that can be used for this church. And it's not about surviving. Boy, I hope Pleasant Chapel survives. Ugh, that's a lousy goal. Right? We get a handle on this. It's not about surviving. It's about thriving. If God's hand is in this and God is here and He wants Pleasant Chapel to do this and He's going to equip us, it's thriving time. It's not surviving time. And I'm excited about that. I think this is going to be a good thing for us to look at. So don't freak out and don't not show next week because you don't know what we're going to have in store with you. I promise it's going to be fun and your input is going to be very valuable and I can't wait to do this. We simply can't just wish this church is going to happen. It is something we need to be deliberate about. We really want to be that people of hope and love, and it's acted out in a real intentional faith. I look forward to that. It is always good to get together and worship. Worship in the next couple weeks will be a little different, but it is going to be worship. We're going to get together and we're going to talk. And we're going to come up with some conversations that are going to help direct and guide where God has this church going. Would you stand and we will close in a word of prayer.